Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We dwell in the house of the Lord. When we gather here, it is not just us as saints here in this earth gathering. But what you don't see is here as well. For what you with your eyes right now do not see is that the angels and the archangels are dwelling here with us. That when Jesus Christ will present to you his body and blood, the saints, your loved ones who have gone before you in the faith, whether a husband, a wife, parents who died in the faith, they're here too. For their souls rejoice around the throne, around the Lamb and his kingdom. There will be a day when those souls rejoin the bodies. That day is not yet here. But trust that we as people, body and soul, as Christians who come to gather, gather with the whole host of heaven. You see, there is a real glory here tonight. A glory that at times we forget. When Moses saw God, his face shone so brightly that he had to wear a veil over it to not frighten the people. It was so glorious to be in the presence of God. And while my face doesn't shine that bright, I come before you in the glory of God Most High. This area up here, the chancel, is where Jesus Christ first comes to us. Because on that altar tonight, when his word joins to the bread and wine, it will be his body and blood. The King of Kings is coming here tonight. So would it not make sense for your pastor to show devotion to that King of Kings? When I genuflect and drop on a knee, it is not a confession of who I am, but it's a confession of what Jesus Christ does each time we gather. When I reverently fold my hands, it is in devotion, not to myself, but into God Most High. When you bow and when you kneel here at the rail, it is not to me, it is to your King. It is to your Lord. Too often, we take Luther's Small Catechism in eighth grade, we read through it enough to pass some classes, and then we put it on a shelf. Luther has something to say about that. In fact, he speaks very plainly about that in the large catechism. That's right. If there's a small catechism, there's a large catechism. Luther says, when you have finished then reading the small catechism, take up the large catechism that you might continue your studies. And the small catechism is not something that you are to put away as some sort of textbook. No, it is a devotional tool. Every day I dig into the catechism. I spent 8 years studying specifically to do my job, studying specifically God's word, how to do the liturgy according to what is meet, right, and salutary, what shows devotion to the fact of what we confess. If what was here tonight was just bread and wine as some sort of memorial meal, then we don't need the reverence. But that's not what we're receiving. The body and blood of Jesus. It causes us to fall down in his presence. Listen to these words of Luther from the large catechism, from his preface to it, where he says, and he admonishes us, similar to the words of our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, these also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. Listen to these words. Oh, what mad, senseless fools are we! While we must ever live and dwell among such mighty enemies as the devils, we still despise our weapons and defense, and we are too lazy to look at or think of them. What else are such proud, arrogant saints doing who are unwilling to read and study the catechism daily? They think they are much more learned than God himself with all his saints, angels, prophets, apostles, and all Christians. God himself is not ashamed to teach these things daily. He knows nothing better than to teach. He always keeps teaching the same thing and does not take up anything new or different. All the saints know nothing better or different to learn and cannot finish learning this. Are we not the finest of all fellows to imagine that if we have once read or heard the catechism, we know it all and have no further need to read and learn? Can we finish learning in 1 hour what God himself cannot finish teaching? He is engaged in teaching this from the beginning to the end of the world. All prophets, together with all saints, have been busy learning it, have ever remained students, and must continue to be students. It must be true that whoever knows the Ten Commandments perfectly must know all scriptures. So in all matters and cases, he can advise, help, comfort, judge, and decide both spiritual and temporal matters. Such a person must be qualified to sit in judgment over all doctrines, estates, spirits, laws, and whatever else is in the world. And what indeed is the book of the Psalms, but thoughts and exercises upon the first commandment? Now I truly know that such lazy bellies and arrogant spirits do not understand a single psalm, much less the entire Holy Scriptures. Yet they pretend to know and despise the catechism, which is a short and brief summary of all Holy Scriptures. Many of us spent an hour a week for 2 or 3 years learning from the small catechism. And Luther's point of the fact that we grow tired of it, that we grow bored with learning God's word, that we could grow bored after an hour sitting in the pews and singing God's praises, that we would grow tired of these things, even though God, since the beginning of his creation, to the very day when he returns, does not tire in teaching. Do we ever grow tired of coming to church? We do, don't we? We get out of the habit, and then it becomes a challenge to get back in. And yet, week after week, the message is the same. You hear God's law, you hear God's gospel, and you hear how his word admonishes you to Christian life. God does not grow tired of teaching you these things. We grow tired of hearing it. That's not God's fault. That's our own sinful desire. And when we grow tired of it, we should purge that. We should drown it with the old Adam. Those who complained will learn doctrine. Do we grumble when we don't understand, or do we dig deeper into the scriptures? When we don't understand every intricate part of Lutheran doctrine, do we grumble or do we grab the Book of Concord and read what our Lutheran fathers have handed down to us in the Lutheran Church? We should grow deeper. The glory of God is here this very evening. When Jesus grabs the ears, when Jesus grabs a tongue, he unsticks what has been impeded. He loosens that he might have joy sung about him. When we fail to be catechized, when we turn our noses up in the air to hearing it over and over again, when we turn our noses up in the air thinking that we know better than everybody else, we fail. We complain. We turn away. We will learn doctrine. When we stuff our ears full of the fluff that is this world so that the word of God cannot be proclaimed to us, it ties our tongue. Because if you refuse to hear God's word, if you refuse to be built up in doctrine, then how can your tongue properly sing his praises? Martin Luther says that we will judge, and yet the world tells you, judge not. Well, how can we judge if we do not know what God's word teaches? How can we judge right from wrong if we have not built ourselves around the scriptures? We fill our ears with fluff and mud and things that do not save. We need Jesus to come to us. We need Jesus to sigh out a deep groan to heaven, knowing that this is not his intention for you, his children. That he might cry out and that your ears would miraculously be open. That you might hear the word of God. And upon hearing the word of God, your tongues would be loosened. That you might sing his praises without end. that you might tell every single person that you meet the importance of what Jesus Christ has done for you? Do you become afraid to talk about your faith to others? Read God's Word. Do you become afraid to talk to your loved ones, your own family members, maybe your son or daughter, brother or sister, about the faith? Read God's Word. We here at St. Peter's are moving forward. And we're moving forward founded on the Word of God, founded on the catechisms, founded on the need for better and proper catechesis, not just for a 2-year period, but for life. And so to move forward, we will do more to equip parents, especially fathers, to teach the faith handed down by our forefathers. To teach the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer. To teach what the Scriptures have to say about baptism, confession, absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. That these children may grow up in their own faith. That they may receive the gifts that Jesus Christ has sent his pastors to give. And then we will spend 3 years digging. We will spend a year digging in the Old Testament. We'll spend a year digging in the New Testament. And we will spend a year applying that through the catechism. And once those children who have potentially received their first communion, been confirmed, and once they get into high school, may we not lose them. May we branch out and grab hold of their mothers and fathers. Grab hold of those children. And continue to catechize after confirmation. When you have finished the small catechism, take up the large. And you never fully finish the small catechism, do you? I haven't finished with the small catechism. Martin Luther himself never finished with the small catechism. So let your ears be opened. Let your hearts be opened to receive God in his truth. Be catechized. Receive it with joy, that this message may fill you, and that your tongues may sing as the church sings. Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all wherever I might be what great things God has done for me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.